Blog Talk Radio.
About to bring the power and power of my son, my son. Well, Father,
yeah. Who it is?
House of the Redeemed Servant.
Y'all about Shimmy, I was Shabarakata.
Hey, come on,
Lock. Yabaraka, Yahawaba, Shamamashiach, Yahawashai.
What's up, Lock? Yo, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's cracking, huh?
Yahawaba, Shimmy, Yahawashai, Baraka, Ta.
Yeah.
Kwam, Yahshirala, give it all praise to the Abadawa, Yahawaba, Shamamashiach, Yahawashai.
Shamamashiach, Yahawashai.
Jeremiah.
Hold up.
Please say to Yah.
Got that boy Karata's out with me.
House of Service.
Are you ready for the race for us?
Let's get it.
Bring it on.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. We ain't playing, yeah, standing on these corners, yeah. We taking games, yeah, put them in the Bible, yeah. Ezekiel 37, greatest seeding army, yeah. Come see what we about, we'll change your route, we moving out. You my battle axe, and weapons of war, what you waiting here for? Come see what the hell you're facing, with D, he'll break the nation. Sounds like a little revelation, heard players coming 1 hour. Utterly burnt, we will devour, Yahweh Shai, who's the power? As you can see, you ain't dealing with no monkeys. We want our money, you gon' pay us for slavery. We mad as hell, but we ain't take no apologies. You said you're sorry, just go get out that money. Reparations, boy, we want our reparations. Separation, boy, we want our separation. We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. But keep your damn sin, just keep all of your damn sin.
Hebrews are coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are
coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming.
Hebrews are coming. Hit down or lay down. Be about it or be without it. Cut us in or cut it out. Y'all should all on the quam now. We woke up, y'all so stuck. Nate, we got necks on this exodus and it's a good feeling. I'm with the killer. Give me the Edomite, I'm a whip the feeling. What you talking to how I wish I was soft or something. He's an awful something. You got a beat coming. Ain't no sweet loving facts. Run tell that. 144,000 whips on your back. And the slain of the Lord,
of mine enemies,
they shall be
would
me.
Not that I should reign over them, bring him hither, and slay them before me.
Their lives are worth
all nations are
less
nothing
than a penny. And though people assaulted, there was no reason.
Hey, mister, dropping the vessel, nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning, your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hey, man,
hands.
I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what it's called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for their beds. I'm sorry, got a problem.
We want our own flag, we're gonna get our own flag. We want our own land, we're gonna get our own land. But keep those hands, keep all of your hands, keep those hands, keep all of your hands.
Now I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you,
we got next.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000. The Hebrews are coming. We take this thing too serious, and you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing, you claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You stole our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top cause I'm feeling, hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer, I'm dealing. Ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable at Elliot Ness. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest. With a girdle on. trying to help set the people that the Gentiles fronted on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I talk, salt, salt with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Mashiach Yahawashai, who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the nation of Israel,
Yashala. Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming.
Coming,
Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000.
Their homes shall be overthrown. Their women virus, their children dashed headlong against the stones. By Shem Yahawashai, we provide his father's throne. So let your people say I am strong. Gird up their loins, loins, and put their armor on. Bloodshed, billions falling dead for their pride. Destruction, cities painted red, and the man shall show no pity toward his neighbor. For the lack of bread, they enter captivity. Our enemies shall be led for the iniquities that they did. Yahweh roots like a plague, but instead he'll place their heads around the chosen. With the name written in their foreheads, 144,000 men of war, one accord, bending bows and drawn swords.
Like a spark, they shall run over walls, they shall jump on. Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come. Like a spark, they shall run over walls, they shall jump on.
Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come.
They coming.
Watch out, here they come, watch out, here they come.
They coming.
They coming.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming,
Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000.
Negroes. That niggas not stand the hell up, man. They don't give a damn about you Negroes, man. But you wanna love every damn body, man. And everybody hates your goddamn guts.
This how we banging on Esau. Prophesied scriptures flaming on Esau. Friends ain't holding hands with no Esau. Repent, it ain't a chance for no Esau.
All right. Shalom and good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear Truth Business Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I want to teach you with the ISBHBK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I know today is supposed to be at times about Tuesdays, but seeing as we are still in captivity and we're still subject to bills, to debt, and to payments, the brother had to
you hear sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stocks. They give me props. Rapping, teaching, debating, unity, while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace. The police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot tubes when they gear up. Asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pull up a material schism. Our people are serial victims of imperial.
All right. I guess this telephone thing together. The brother I mod was handling some business for the he was having some phone calls for the business out here in Albuquerque, but he wanted to join in with the class today, so we had to go ahead and get that hooked up. So I apologize for the delays again. Again, welcome once again to another episode of Square Two Business Bible Talk. Yeah, today is supposed to be talked about Tuesdays, but as I was saying earlier before some of the technical difficulties that we had. Seeing how we are still in captivity as a nation, we're still subject to bills, to payments, to debt, or what have you. The brother had to work today. Right? The brother testified had to work today. So you got me, right? Mashaba, I got Ahmad here with me. I got the brother Calvin with me. And we're going to get into this class today. All right. One of the things that the brothers here in Albuquerque is going over, particularly the younger men, the young troops, if you will, the Kaban, Shar, Abijah, and Izan, they've expressed a desire to want to get soldiers test and really and become a lot more serious about the actual work of the Most High. So this is the mindset that we're actually starting to take them into. With that being said, that was the birth of the genesis or the origin of today's class, if you will. And if you look on the screen, for those that might catching it live, or you look through you listen to it through the Blog Talk archives, I entitled the class "When the Saints Come Marching In," and that was just on my mind because a lot of people, especially old Christian, old Baptist revivals, especially like down there in New Orleans when they have a funeral, or going home celebration, that's what they call it, a celebration. And it's almost like a funeral is almost like a party because that spirit, they understand that spirit is going back to the Father. And they really have little mini parades and there's music and dancing and they rejoice in the person going home. And that goes back again to the times of slavery, that the only escape that we had, the shackles of slavery that our people had experienced, that they were now free. It was free from the crack of the whip. It was free from the rape, the robbery, the murder, the kidnapping, the extortion, the horrendous, cruel conditions that they had to face down there in the South, that they were actually literally free. Their spirit was free and back with the Father. So one of the songs that would be sung, a gospel hymn, would be "When the Saints Come Marching In." I want to be in that number. And you might be familiar, you might get the picture in your mind of there's the guy with the trombone. They're marching in front of the black pony or the black horse, with pulling the casket, and it's really a celebration. You may be familiar with the jingle, bum bum bum, bum bum bum, bum 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 bum. Even some high school plans might even high school marching bands might even use that melody, that jingle. But the name of that is "When the Saints Come Marching In." So I just wanted to kind of cover on that, touch on that as it lends to some of the direction, besides just working and paying bills or whatever, because we are in captivity. Why does it say "When the Saints Come Marching In"? Why was that so prevalent, especially among our people? You know, and it's almost a shame that if you look at how our people were before segregation, or integration, I should say, that our people were a lot more gathered together. We were a lot more social with one another. But once integration started, now you see where our people are more friendly and more used to being around white people, trying to fit in with white people, and can't even associate with their own people. That it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But they really assimilated themselves to really fit in, to be around white people, to really fit in, to be around other nationalities. But before integration, when segregation was really forced upon us, we really had a much better unity. And like the brother Bayan Safar was bringing out two shows ago, if y'all get a chance to go back and listen to archives. contrary to how was painted today, the Negro League with baseball, the Negro Leagues was actually bigger than white Major League Baseball. The money revenue was actually greater when it was the Black Negro Baseball Leagues and National Baseball Leagues. So when they decided to integrate baseball and bring in at the time it was Jackie Robinson, they weren't doing it out of this image that it was some good old white folks. They just wanted to finally give Black people a chance to show their talents and show that we all have red blood and we all have that we should be given a chance. No, the white Major League Baseball owners were seeing how much revenue the Negro Leagues was generating, and they were jealous of it. They were jealous of it, and the love of money is the root of all evil. So the only reason they integrated Major League Baseball or professional sports was for the money. It wasn't for the show. You have a chance to showcase your skills. You have a chance to showcase your talents or what have you, and be given a chance or whatever. No, they saw when we came together as a people, just how much revenue and how much money was being generated. As you go back and look, a lot of people are becoming familiar with Wall Street, Black Wall Street, which was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the wealth that our people had acquired there in Tulsa. And again, that whole thing got destroyed by white people, jealous white folks, because, again, you literally had Black people that were, business owners, running colleges. They had wealth, and they were richer than their white counterparts. And that's where the jealousy came from, so to where the very first airstrike committed on American soil, where there was actual – the Air Force or whatever was used to attack something, was when America had attacked Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, and burned it down to the ground. But when you do your research, you'll see that we had towns and businesses that were thriving all over. One of the richest areas in Atlanta at this particular even right now today, which has million-dollar homes on it, that originally was all Black people. That was all Black people's land. And, again, because of the wealth that we had, and this is in Atlanta, y'all. This is Atlanta pre-Civil War. And you had Black people that were really thriving, really, really prosperous, really, really wealthy. And again, from jealousy, the love of money being the root of all evil, they were destroyed, and the land was divided up again and given to and divided amongst the white folks, divided amongst quote unquote Americans. I'm saying all this in that integration has really damaged us as a people. It really has damaged us to people where we can't even talk to one another. It's uncomfortable to be around our people. We want to look at our people like, look at them niggas, they ghetto, they're lower class, they're beneath me, they're nothing, they're niggas. And then people that are in the ghetto or come from that background look at other people as bougie. You're bougie, you're whitewashed, you're Oreo, you're this, that, whatever. And it's just furthering the division. It's just trying to further the division amongst our people. But we understand that the Most High is trying to get us to see that we're all his people. And when I say all his people, I'm talking about so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and the so-called Mexicans, that we are his people. And that the only reason that we're going through what we're going through right now is because we broke his laws. We broke we broke his moral codes. We broke his integrity. We broke his standards in trying to assimilate and be like the rest of the nations. But now we're at the time where it's time for us to now come back to the Most High. All right? With that, matter of fact, as Char just joined us, I guess I might, if you can read the first script, I need Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
You got it.
And just for FYI, I also wanted to do this class early in the morning at this particular time to get the boys here in Albuquerque as two of them get off the truck or whatever, and the others are off today. They might have to listen to do whatever it is they got to do. Hopefully this ain't being looked at as a punishment or whatever, but it's the grand. Let's do something for the Most High. Let's get into His scriptures. Let's do something for Him, so that when our ways please Him, He might make our enemies be at peace with us. So with that being said, let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Con, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Right, it says that, and we got to know what time it is. Right, we have to understand God's time and what the Most High is going on. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. And the sleep that we've been put under, particularly as a nation, is us not even on a nationality. Us, by us being a nationality, we've been asleep. All right. And then as we're going over this with the boys right now, for our people not even to know their own language, to not even know their language, to believe that Spanish is their home language, the English, Ebonics, gutter, slang, whatever, to be more familiar with these bastard tongues and not even be familiar with your own tongue, that's a shame. All right? And that shows how asleep we are, that how far removed from our culture, how far removed from who we truly are, that we were taken away to where now, again, if you don't even know your language or your nationality, then why not try and be an entrepreneur? Why not try and be the next Kobe Bryant, the next Michael Jordan, the next LeBron James? Why not try and be the next Michael Jackson? Why not try and be the next Cardi B or Nicki Minaj or Triple X, Lil Yachty, Yachty, whatever? Why not try and aspire to these things? You don't even know who the hell you are. So you're trying to, you set goals for yourself and trying to reach this and reach that or whatever, but that is true with an American mindset. That's not what the Hebrew Israelite mindset, to where you don't really know what your purpose is. And this is why a lot of people face depression, self-esteem problems. You don't know where you fit in at. So you're trying to do whatever you can to try to fit in. But it says, now it's time for us to wake up out of sleep. Reading on, sir.
God, middle of verse 11. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Now the salvation of the children of Israel, the salvation of the nation of Israel, is even closer than when we believed. When I first came in, we believed that it was going to be around the year 2000. Well, obviously, we're 22 years now on this side of the year 2000, so it didn't happen at that time. But that doesn't stop the fact that the scripture still tells us that our salvation, the salvation for the children of Israel, is even closer, is even nearer than when we believe. Right? That, no, pray to God we don't have another, I pray to God we don't have another 5 days left in this place, let alone trying to think about some 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. That we, it's time for the nation of Israel to go home. It's time for the nation of Israel to wake up so we can go home. So that our big brother, Yahweh Shai, or who the world calls Jesus Christ, might now come get us so we can go home, all right, as a nation. This is the times that we're looking for. This is the times that we're in. Just real quick, Amaya, you're in Romans 13. I'm going to ask one of the brothers here to give me Luke chapter 1 at verse 68. The book of Luke chapter 1 at verse 68. And you're holding Romans 13:11.
You got it.
You got to read real loud because we're on the mic.
Luke chapter 58. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people.
All right, so this was with the birth of John the Baptist. All right. What we're reading about in Luke right here is actually the birth of John the Baptist. And what we're saying was, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. From the prophecies, we as Israelites during the time of Christ, we knew that Elijah had to come back, according to the prophecies in Micah, Hosea, that Elijah had to come back. We understood this. And that because Elijah had to come back to lead the way to let us know the Messiah was going to be here. That, and the Messiah being the anointed, chosen one, or the Savior. So, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. We understood that God is coming to redeem, to save his people. Reading on.
Verse 69. And bring them a horn of salvation
When getting Bible terms, understanding Bible terms, when it talks about a horn is like represents power. Just like the horns of a ram, the horns of a rhinoceros, the horns of a moose, the horns of a deer. That's where the power is at. So here it's letting us know that the Lord is going to, one more time, Kyle.
Raise up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
And it says God has raised up a horn, meaning a power of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And that us is literally referring to the nation of Israel, not everybody. Reading on.
70. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
That this is what the prophets have been saying since the world began. Since there was any prophets in the Bible, or the Bible calls them seers, before we know as prophets, it was always referring to the salvation of the nation of Israel. That as many times as we kept messing up with God, and God kept putting us in captivity, that he would always send saviors. He would always send somebody to come and get us. Our first captivity as a nation was in Israel, was in Egypt. The most I sent Moses. And since that time, we've had many captivities we've been in. We mess up with God. He'd punish us, send us in captivity. We would gather together, repent, then he would send a savior. Save us from that captivity. We're back in the promised land, doing our thing. We get wicked. We start following our own imaginations again. He'd have to come back and punish us again, bring us to captivity. We would be in captivity. We would gather together. We would repent to the Most High. He would send a savior. This has been the cycle. I mean, that's been the cycle of salvation since the days of Moses. Whenever, for those who read the Bible, if you ever read the Bible, that's what salvation, biblical salvation, has always talked about. And biblical salvation was never for an individual. Biblical salvation was always referring to the nation of Israel. It was never about one person just getting saved. It's just him. It's just him, everything being good for him. He's okay. He's all right. That's never been the biblical definition of salvation. Or just making sure one family is taken care of. That's never how God has worked this. God has always looked out for the nation. He punishes us as a nation. He's going to heal us as a nation. He's going to bring us home as a nation. It's not, never been about the individuals. All right? So reading on, sir.
Verse 71.
Yeah, we're in Luke chapter 1, verse 71.
Luke chapter 1, verse 71. That we should be saved from our enemies.
And again, that we should be saved from our enemies. And that's what salvation is talking about. Do any Bible study. It's not hard, especially with all the electronics that people have and the smartphones. They say the smartphones we carry today have more computer memory or power than the so-called computers that sent the first rockets to the moon, which we know they didn't go to the moon. But for those computers, your handheld device, the phone that your daughter might have on her hand or your son might have in his hand, is more powerful than those computers that NASA was using back in that time. So not I'm bringing that up to not be able to study, to get Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, to get to look at Bible words, to match different Bible versions. There's no excuse. There really is no excuse why we're not studying. And if you're going to study, what is biblical salvation? It's impossible not to see it unless you're not reading. Reading on, says, so that we should be saved from our enemies, go ahead.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
And that we might be saved, the children of Israel, might be saved from the hand of all that hate us. And that, I mean, just in that verse alone, we shut everything down. Why in the year 2020-21 are we still talking about Black Lives Matter?
People hate us.
Obviously, people hate us, obviously. Obviously, the Constitution, civil rights, there is no emancipation proclamation that now we've been freed from our enemies. And by the time you get to the 13th Amendment, if y'all have never seen the 13th Amendment documentary on Netflix, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you got your mind involved with. That the 13th Amendment was formed, for those who don't know, the 13th Amendment was formed specifically for all the freed slaves, for the thousands of a million of people that had been free from so-called slavery. All that free labor was now gone.
The thing that built America up on the backs of 400 years of free slave labor was now gone. So the 13th Amendment was designed that you can no longer hold a person in captivity and work them unless they were a prisoner. So then you had all these – they was arresting people for jaywalking, giving them life sentences for jaywalking. But why? Because now if they're a prisoner, now you can force them to go and work. That's why the infamous – I don't even know if it's infamous with modern-day times. But the chain gangs was literally where they was locking up our people, just like today, locking them up so they can get free labor out of them to build the roads, to continue to build industry, to continue to build property for slave wages, for nothing. It was literally just a transfer from, okay, y'all are slaves to now y'all are prisoners. Because y'all are prisoners, we can treat you like this. It's the same process, the exact same process they continue to slavery, just now they call us prisoners. Now we were criminals. Now we're the criminal element. And that's why you see even to this day, they always want to pass tougher crime laws. They always want to get that person in office that's going to be tough against crime. Which all they're saying is, how do we keep black people, Native Americans, and so-called Hispanics, how do we keep them locked up to get free slave labor? Go look at the prison complex today. The prison complex today is ran by private business. So that now all these people in the penitentiaries, all these people in these private jails, they can work for free. They're building a road. They're building furniture. The roads, clothes, industry, a lot of Costco shit. It's built off of slave labor, off of prisoner labor. It's the same process. So for us to keep thinking, again, read it for more time, Kyle. Tell me what verse you're in.
I am in verse 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
Yeah, we should be saved from our enemies and the hand of all that hate us. Now, Kyle, I believe you're going to say something. I'm going to give you a chance. If you had something to say, please bring it up.
Oh, that was it. When you said that, they make a place for harm. And this stuff that they sell, it's not like we're going to stuff donating that people need. Like you said, furniture, electronics, wiring, they clean the trash. So that's all free service.
It's free.
And it's not that things are donated, it's just free labor.
If you go and look, they say that there are more people in prison today than there were slaves in 1865. Think about that for a minute. There's more black people, so-called black men, in prison today than there were slaves in 1865, the year of the Civil War. Yeah.
If 1% of the United States population were in the military, we'd have the strongest military in the world, or the biggest military in the world. We don't got 1%, but we have a huge percentage of free labor, basically.
In the prisons. In the prisons. So to show that there are the people that obviously need to be saved from the enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, if they talk about our people, so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Central Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, everybody saw what happened down there in Del Rio, Texas, about, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where they literally got white people on horses whipping Haitian immigrants.
Oh, yeah, the Border Patrol.
The Border Patrol. Everybody was saying, okay, this is 2021, but that looked like something straight out of the 1800s. You got a whip, not a taser, not a gun, not pepper spray. You have whips running down people on horseback. So there's definitely a people who need to be saved. And from what we was reading, going back now to Thuatika, going back now to Ahmad, if you pick that verse up again, please.
You got it. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
It's time for us to wake up to who we are. All right? I'm going to ask Shar to go to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. All right? I'm going to ask Shar to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. I finish that, Ahmad, please.
Sure. Sure. Middle of verse 11, Romans chapter 13, middle of 11. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
But now our salvation is even nearer than we believed. Right? So, if you give me Isaiah 52 and get Matthew chapter 1, verse 21.
Isaiah 52 and verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion.
And see, now, because we've been asleep, the Lord is saying it's time for us to wake up now and put on our strength. When you say strength, what's the strength of the Lord or the strength of a people? If we look at so-called white people, their strength is their military. Their strength is their gun. Their strength is to be able to create more deadly weapons. And that was a blessing that was given to Esau when Isaac blessed him, that he's going to rule by the sword. He's going to rule the earth with the sword. And from the time of the Greeks to the Romans up until present day, that for those who have nuclear capabilities or their nuclear warfare technology, that's how they control the whole earth. And it's funny how they call the nuclear capabilities they have peacekeepers. Now that's a deterrent. You better not F with us, or we're going to drop this nuke on your ass like we did Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's going to be our way or the highway, our way or no way at all. So they put on their strength. You see, where other nations, they put on their culture. They put on their culture, which is their strength. You see the United Arab Emirates. You see them wearing their white cheeks. They wear they're into their culture. They wear the headbands and turbans, what have you. You see East Indians. They put the dot in their forehead. They put on their natural native apparel. They put on their strength. The only people who have not been putting their strength on has been our people. We try and assimilate and be more and more like white people as the days go by. And it doesn't work for us. From the days of Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Toulon the Overture, we've tried to revolt. We figure if we get more guns, we get guns like they got guns, that now we're going to match them, and this is how we're going to get salvation. That wasn't the power God gave us. The power God gave us was him. The power God gave the nation of Israel was himself. But we're steadily trying to put on other people's strength. If white people, and if you go look up one of the synonyms for expert, it tells you someone who complicates things. Now, this is from an old Oxford Dictionary definition back in the day. But an expert is somebody who complicates things. They make more red tape. And because they make more red tape, because they make things more complicated, that's supposed to make them more intelligent. That's supposed to make them more educated. As you go to college courses and you got to take English class or whatever, the whole thing is about so you can get a multi-syllable vocabulary stock. You just can't keep it in layman's terms. Since you use multi-syllabic words to say something simple, but because you use a multi-syllabic word, now that's supposed to make you more smart, more intelligent, more intellectual, more better than the man next to you. And that is absolutely crazy. But not if you're living in America and you're trying to put on the American strength. You're trying to put on what makes America strong. But the question I would like to ask is, so what makes a Hebrew Israelite strong? What is the strength of a Hebrew Israelite that the Lord is saying it's time for us to wake up and put this on? As Shar just said, we got to put on the ways of the Most High. We got to get back to where our strength is, because we've not been associated with our strength. Give an example. If I'm going to give an example, one of the scriptures we showed the boys a couple months ago was he that had no rule of his spirit is like a city without walls. If you're quick to get emotional, you're like a city that has no walls, meaning you have no defense. So what have black men, or and when I say black men, I'm referring to all the men of our nation. What have we been trained up in? To get emotional. And when we get emotional, strike out. Get violent. I'm going to hit you. Be in there. Beast mode.
That's actually happened to me when I went back to Dying Police thing. From what's it called? I was arguing with a girl in the lobby. We worked together. She was a black. She's like, you going to the thing? I'm like, no. And
And my reason was, it's logical, I don't want to be involved in any riots. Because in the past, whenever something movement like this or protest happens, it turns into a riot in that area in Texas.
True.
So I'm logically thinking, okay, I know what's going to happen because it happens every time. I'm just not going to go. She's like, no, this is supposed to be a peace plan. I'm like, you don't have to protect this. You can get it. This happens every time. And she's like, we know that one way or another, they're going to know, basically, I don't know, to respect us, to deal with us. And I'm like, where's the logic in that? If you get violent and they get violent, who's going to win? Because they got.
They are.
And that was the whole thing. They teach us to be emotional. Like, you know, you're doing the right thing and you're passionate. And, you know, whatever, by any means, get it done.
And that's not the power of the Most High. We threaten everybody. I'm gonna hit you, nigga. If you don't back up off me, I'm this, that, and the third. I'm about to do this, and we walk with that. And you even see that among women with violent men. After a while, your punches don't hurt. A black guy eventually is gonna heal. A bloody nose is gonna stop. And then they tell you, and then you have a woman who'll be with a. She might be 5'2". I'm not condoning violence at all. I'm not. She might be 5'2", with a man who's 6'5", and she's mouthy. And in his mind, he's like, "Woman, why are you doing this? Don't you know what I'll do? I will destroy you." She takes the first hit. He becomes a slave to her. He's got to make it up to her. She knows she got it. And it'll get to the point where this 5'2" woman will get in the face of this knockout artist, and then she'll dare him. What are you going to do, hit me? I just hit me? Because that's all you can do. You're an animal. You're a beast. That you ain't got no strength. You get locked up, you can bench press 315 25 times. But your mind is weak. Because all it takes somebody to hit your button, they can control you. It's a done deal. So here in Isaiah 52 and verse 1, if I can have a start with that one more time, please.
Isaiah 52 and verse 1. Awake. Put on my strength, O Zion.
And it's time for us to put on our strength. It's time for us to put on the strength that the Most High provides. Go ahead.
Put on my beautiful garments.
And it's time for us to put on our beautiful garments. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to put on our culture. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to put on who we are. Not the hip-hop look. Not the salsa merengue look, not the Oxford, Cambridge schoolboy look. It's time for us to put on our culture. It's time for us to put on who we are. Reading on.
Oh, Jerusalem, holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Right, the uncircumcised and the unclean. Most likely not going to just accept anybody who's just uncultured, that you have no idea how to apply the Most High's wisdom. You have no idea how to apply the Most High's understanding. He's not allowing that. He's not bringing that too close to him. Okay? I'm sorry, Ahmad. You had some input?
My bad. I was off the phone trying to say something.
I'm sorry, sir.
I was off the phone trying to say something. My bad.
Did you have anything, any input? Sean Carbon inputting. Did you have any input?
More on us trying to put on other people's strengths, and we wonder why it doesn't work for us. It's because it wasn't meant to work for us. You know, the sword was meant to work for Esau. But even his days are limited as far as that goes, because we know the scriptures also talk about no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So, okay, we're going to let you use that to your advantage, and the Most High is going to let you run the world, but only for so long. That has its limitations. And the Most High is the high power, and he's going to show us that. He's going to show the Gentiles that. But even with the Panthers, we see that didn't work, because the Panthers tried to use their right to bear arms. It didn't work for them. They were basically disbanded and overran by the FBI. by the federal government. So, you know, Esau is going to rule until his time is up, but his strength is the sword. His strength is his military might, is the guns, is the weapons, but that's not ours. I'm glad you brought that out. I wanted to kind of further expand on that as well. That's not our power. Our power is the Most High, and he is exactly that. Psalms 89:18, he is the Most High. He's the Most High power. And, you know what I'm saying? So these weapons and these guns and whatever you come up with, whatever your technology comes out with, it's only temporary. It's only going to last so long. The Most High is going to show the whole world who the real power is and where the real power lies, which is in the spirit. But that's all I wanted to add.
All right, cool. Sorry for that. So let's go down to Matthew 1:21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Yes, we go, sir.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins.
And this was the angel speaking to Joseph. Right after Joseph got gotten his wife Mary pregnant. And went ahead and hide her. He went to hide her because it was before they had sex, got together before the actual marriage feast that took place. So it was troubling Joseph. It said that Joseph was a just man, that Joseph was really about pleasing the Most High, but he got cut up, and him and Mary actually had sex, and he got Mary pregnant. So here the angel is now addressing, actually came and addressed Joseph. And it says that Mary is going to have a son, and you're going to call this son's name Jesus. Now we know Jesus is just a Greek word that means Savior. That's all it means. When you go into a word study, if you will, you see that Jesus, Joshua, Hosea, Hosea, that in Hebrew, all you pronounce them all the same way. It would be Yahushua. So the same way you read Joshua in English. If you translated Joshua in Hebrew, guess what the word would be? Yahushua. If you look at Hosea, if you translate the word Hosea into Hebrew, it would be Yahushua. If you look at Hosea into Hebrew, it would be Yahushua. And then obviously Jesus, it would be Yahushua when we actually go and translate to Hebrew. So there were many people named, quote-unquote, Jesus. There was many people named Joshua. Many people carry the name, just like today. In the so-called Hispanic culture of our people, you have a lot of Jesuses, a lot of Jose's, a lot of Joshua's even. And again, if we translated all those names back into Hebrew, it would be Yahushua. So, and again, the word Jesus, all it means is Savior. If I said Jesus in French, it'd be Jesse. If I said it in Spanish, it'd be Jesus. All right. If I said it in Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, it'd be Yahushua. All right? So if we can read verse 21 again, please.
Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins.
Now, I was telling you, the reason that this particular child's name should be called Jesus or Yahushua is because he's going to save his people from their sins and from the hand of all that hate us. So I just want to kind of get some of these scriptures laid out or what have you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. And somebody give me a definition of error, E-R-R. Well, one person gets Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. Another person gets the definition for error. And if I can have another person, please get 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Heir as in like heir to a throne?
No, E-R-R.
You said 2 Timothy what?
Chapter 2 and verse 15.
Sorry, I got 2 Timothy.
I mind if you can please read Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 then.
You got it. You get that. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27.
Yes, sir.
Which one do you want first? That one?
Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27.
Got it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to error from the words of knowledge.
I see we're giving a warning from the Father, from the Most High. He's letting us know it's time for us to stop. Obviously, that's what the word, obviously, that's what the word cease means. Cease, my son, to hear the instructions that cause thee to err. He's telling, stop listening to instructions that keep having you go away from the Most High. Stop listening to that. Stop listening to something that's getting you away from the scriptures. Someone or something is going to be in your ear. This is the importance of studying. Even for as yourself as an individual. If you're not studying, how do you know that the thoughts that come to your mind are the right thoughts if you're not studying? You can have a thought come to your head and really have a strong, passionate feeling for this thought. That, hey, why don't you go ahead and get this? I'm trying to give a real base, extreme example. Hey, we have an opportunity to smash this shit. And she happens to be your homeboy's girl. But she's down, you're down. Why not go ahead and hit it? You might have those thoughts in your mind giving you those type of instructions. Slipping this drug, this dad, this whatever, and you know you get some. You know you want to. Why don't you go ahead and do it? You can have those instructions in your mind, but how do you know that those instructions in your mind are proper? And again, I'm giving a wild try. I'm trying to go extreme in my example. This is something that people go through every day. I'm trying to go through something extreme. That you might get this thought in your head. You might see your brother's wallet out. So you get this thought in your mind about, you know what, you know you show him money, you know you need to get this, that, whatever. He's a brother, ain't he? So you really think he's going to mind if you take some money from him? He ain't going to really care. You might get that type of thought in your mind. You might really get that thought in your mind. Again, I'm just trying to give some wild, extreme examples. I'm not trying to name or make this personal about anything.
That you have the Bible
in the back of your head for a moment. That's an extreme. It's all that extreme. Where this isn't, you know, we'll slap on this. You really affect somebody. Yeah, no doubt. And as much as I can give you the extreme example, what about the more subtle examples? What about the more subtle things that might take place? And again, I'm giving some. I'm trying to go outlandish. You might get the thought to walk outside naked. I don't know. But I'm trying to give, again, some extreme examples. Because if he goes to that extreme, then what about the lot more subtle thoughts that a person might have in their head? That the stuff that don't seem so bad. But you got these instructions in your mind, and the Lord said it's time to cease from those instructions. Now, that's what on an individual level, that even your own thoughts can betray you. What about somebody who's trying to tell you how to do something? How do you know that those instructions is right with the Most High if you ain't studying? They might really be telling you to do something that's against the Bible. But because of an emotion or an attachment you might have with this person, you might go ahead and follow those instructions. Because, again, and that's why I was starting this class with how we made ourselves, as Israelites, our people, we are more comfortable around the nations and how they operate than we are to be around our own people. So we've compromised ourselves to be able to fit in with others. So that the way they do things, their influences, now will have me doing something that with this group of people, it seems right. To operate this way is proper. But it's against the Most High's knowledge. If you're not studying, how are you going to know that what you're being led to, what instructions you're being given, how are you going to know if they're right or not if you're not studying? You're not. You're going to be left with just your emotions. Well, it didn't feel like it was a bad thing. It didn't feel like this. It felt like it was cool. Okay, where are you studying to know if those thoughts or those instructions are proper or not? The importance of studying. The importance of getting God's instructions. So Hamad, if you can read that verse for me again, please.
Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And I can insert the 1828 definition of error also if you want me to.
Shar's got it.
You got it.
What's 1828? To wander from the right way.
So it says, cease, my son. I'm sorry, Ma, say it again.
Oh, my bad. Like cease meaning like stop.
Right, right. So go ahead, Ma. Go ahead and break down the scripture. I know you're itching. Go ahead.
It says cease, my son. I mean, the Most High is trying to tell us stop. Stop doing this. Like just, you know, break this habit. Quit. Stop this vicious cycle, basically. Like, stop. Y'all got a bad habit of doing this. Doing what? But let's read on. It says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee, or that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So the Most High is talking about his knowledge. So stop listening to instructions that pit us against the Most High's words and the Most High's instructions. Instructions of righteousness. The Most High is telling us, stop listening to that crap and stick to the word, stick to his instructions. And the easiest way to get caught up in that, like you were saying earlier, is we're not studying. It may not be intentional. You just may not be studying. So you can easily be swayed one way or the other because you don't study. So how do you know the difference between right and wrong in the eyes of the Father? Because you don't study. So
right. and
you're listening to something else. But that's it.
The water, sir, the water. And it's also telling us, it says, stop listening to, my son, cease. It says, cease, my son, to hear. We got this thing where if you just hear a person out, which in some cases, communication is a good thing. Most sides is having communication. But here it's saying, stop listening to somebody who's giving you the instructions that have you going against the Most High. Don't even listen to that. If they're trying to get you to go against the Bible, against the scriptures, against the mind of the Most High, it says, stop listening to that. Because they're going to run their mouth continually so that the words of the Most High don't come out. So it's now just their logic. It's now just their perspective. It's now just their way of seeing things. And it has not one single thing to do with how the Most High wants things done. So he's telling us it's time to, not only is it time for us to wake up, like we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, like we read in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, it's time for us to wake up out of sleep. It's time for us to stop listening to the instructions that have us go against the Bible. But how can you know if something's going against the Bible if you don't know the Bible? If you don't know the scriptures, the Most High talks about all through the scriptures, smooth talkers. They run their mouth continually. And because they run their mouth continually, you'll get put to sleep and not even think about the scriptures. You really just want them to shut the hell up. So I'm just going to let you talk. I'm going to let you talk and I'm going to agree with you just so finally you might shut the fuck up. Because you're not going to stop until you win. But that's a tactic. That's a ploy. That's a plot. So that the words of the Most High don't get heard. They just want to be heard. It's all about just what they come up with, but it's not about the scriptures. And this is what Esau's done. That's why Esau, as you bring out scriptures, and I'm want to bring it up to the boys, and as I might know, when you start bringing scriptures out, now all of a sudden everybody wants to talk, and let's put the Bible down. Let me get what your feelings are. So now it becomes this debate, this contention about opinions, and it's like, no, I don't believe in the Bible because that's man-made. That's man-written, so I don't want to go to the Bible. Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what your thoughts are. Tell me how you see it. And let's discuss that. Let's talk about how this makes you feel. And let's shut the book. Let's put the Bible down, and let's just talk about feelings. So now we can discuss or debate about why your feeling is incorrect, because it doesn't go with my feeling. Because if I can out-talk you, if I can loud-talk you, to where you shut down, that's going to prove me right. But not in the eyes of the Most High. In the eyes of the Most High, you're still wrong. But you'll see where there's many people in this world, especially today, they don't want the Bible to come out. They don't want scriptures to come out. Because it's going to show that they're wrong. And nobody, because of their pride, wants to hear that. They want to justify and contend about why what they're feeling, what they're saying. It's not even about that you call them a liar about what they're saying, what they're feeling. They're saying and they're feeling what they're feeling. That part is true, but that don't make it the truth. That don't make it the words of the Most High. It's just that's what you're feeling. Again, for another extreme example, a pedophile can feel the way he feels. That don't make it right in the eyes of the Most High. And that pedophile can justify and run his mouth about, well, what's wrong with love? What's wrong with somebody finding that, as Charlotte said last night, I found my soulmate. Nigga, you 40 years old, and you found a soulmate in a 10-year-old? What you talking about? But let them continue to run their mouth long enough.
Goodness.
They're going to convince you, because they've already convinced themselves, that they're right, that this is something special. And if you never found love, you will never know what I'm talking about. That when I'm with this 10-year-old, that the electricity that's in the air, the attraction that's there, the love and the affection that is there, if you've never experienced it, I can't really tell you. It's gotta be something. I feel sorry for you. Then now you're off because you're not going with their feelings. But let them run their mouth long enough, and they will justify that madness. But when we can bring scriptures and come to those scriptures, that is the peacemaker. Are we going to agree with what God says or not? Let's get to what the scripture says. Then we ain't got to fight in that. It ain't got to be your opinion versus my opinion. It ain't got to be any of that. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go to the scriptures. So we can cease from the instructions that cause us to err from the knowledge of the Most High. Because in this world, there's all types of knowledge. In this world, there's all types of knowledge about every goddamn thing, but it's got nothing to do with the Most High. And depending on how you were raised or where you, what area you grew up in or whatever your environment was, you're going to have that knowledge. But that doesn't mean that that's the Most High's knowledge. All right? Any more definitions for error for either Shar or you, Ahmad? If we're good with the first one, I'm good. Unless that one that just resonates with you. If it doesn't resonate, I'm not worried about it.
I'm going to go left and down. But it's just a walk from the right way to deviate from the true course of purpose. That's
pretty much sums up
everything.
Just sum it up then.
See?
Yeah. If it resonates with you, that's why I say, give me the one that resonates with you, and then how it relates to scripture.
It's hard to.
It's too early in the morning? Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Say to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
All right, so it says rightly dividing the word of truth, because you have a lot of people that divide the word of truth, but they don't do it right. They'll try and pull a scripture in that does not fit that the Most High never intended that scripture to be used that way. But now because they pulled the scripture, all of a sudden, they pulled the scripture. So it must be true. If you were studying, you might be able to come back and really say, no, the way you're playing that scripture is wrong. The way you're pulling the scripture, that's not how this goes. Just because you pulled the scripture. That scripture doesn't fit the scenario. Doesn't fit with the Most High, the scenario you're trying to paint. But if you ain't studying, guess what? Somebody will always be able to pull that type of shit on you. Just because they pulled the scripture and ran their mouth, I was like, well, yeah, but okay, yeah. But you ain't studied to know if the way they're bringing that scripture out, is that right? What's the difference we have for study? I should have said it, but do we have it? And only the one that resonates with you. Because if it doesn't resonate with you, then it's not. Get the one that resonates with you so you can help bring it out. Bring some pixels to this picture. That's the word, right? Pixel?
Yeah,
pixel. All right.
Pixel. You should use color. I've heard people to bring some color to this painting.
To bring some color to this painting then. I'm trying to be hip.
But setting up the mind or thought on the subject and then give strength to the mind conversation and grace.
See, you hit me, Shar. You hit me. I don't know what's resonating with you.
It's resonating with me. There's more of them.
It says, I just got to bring that one up. The second one. It says, study to give strength to your mind. So that when someone is talking and just running their mouth, all they're talking or whatever doesn't mean anything.
You already know what you've read.
You know what you've read, and you know what's right in the eyes of the Father. So you have strength.
That's the one called so-called white man's way to be educated. Also, that's the so-called white man's way of being educated. When you're talking about experts and how they make things complicated, yes, because they're educated or they study to complicate these things. They study, so what's it called? They can use those higher vocabulary words and all these definitions that you have no idea of that. When they talk in your ear, it makes sense. Because he's saying all the stuff that I don't know anything about. They just seem like they got all the answers.
It's like contracts. When you read and I don't know if a lot of people do this, but when you read a contract, people don't read these contracts. Like no one's going to, you read contracts to your Xbox Live account for a lot of people. Whoever's not playing video games, you don't ever read the full contract. But if you ever do read the contract, half of that shit really just says that if anything happens to the system, if anything happens to the systems, you basically gotta look. And then it's a bunch of leaks about them to have permission to do anything they want to your account, but you can't do anything to fight back about it. Like how they're doing right now for a lot of game lobbies, they're monitoring them. So you have a TSN bot that's in there listening and recording all conversations. So if y'all talk about some bombing the Washington White House, like as a joke, they flag you and then they send that report back to headquarters and then they ban your account and it can go into legal matters at that point. Which if you read the contract now, you would understand. You read contracts to buying your first car, you read contracts into buying a home, you read contracts into starting a business, taking out loans. A lot of the stuff, when people first read it, I learned this in business. But when people first read it, it's a bunch of big words that are jumbled together. And the contract is about this fucking long, and every page has like 45 stanzas of different paragraphs, and just the whole thing is just way too long for anybody to really give the attention to read into. And but when you actually do read it, and you read half the stuff that's in it, actually is protected, like it's protection for the people you're signing the contract with, so that it's legal stuff, so that if anything happens to you with whatever's in the contract, you just signed all your rights away to them. Now, sometimes it's not, but if you don't have the education and you don't know how to read that well, or you're not looking for those big words, you don't know if they understand, just like, you know, the Bible, if you're just reading it and you've never,
understood the words you're reading and you just would read it plain out like a regular book, you wouldn't understand half of it. So you really do need to study in a way or be able to understand at least what you're reading, so that way you can get that straight from it. When you read a contract, you want to know exactly what you're signing for. So if you find something, if you've read it and you find something that's not right with the contract, no, I don't want to sign for that because the contract states this. That's not what I want.
That's actually
well, where people will just, oh, that just means, like how we do on the truck. We have to sign the fix. That's just for us arriving. That doesn't mean anything. So then when you really read it, especially when people will be signing their warranties on the phone, that shit says that the customer accepted it. That's how we say it. So that says the customer accepted the product.
No, I just say thank you.
And so if we delivered it in that condition, if it's broken down, has a crack in the glass or anything like that, well, you signed for it saying that you accepted. So at that point, we can leave because you can't do anything about that. But if you're not smart, if you listen to what people are saying and not understanding that you've already studied this and you know this, then that contract becomes void. So now a customer can be like, I don't want to sign for that. That's a crack in it. Oh, I don't want to sign for that. That has this and that. I don't want to sign for that car. This is what's wrong with the car. This is the price you're charging me for, and this contract says this. I want another deal. I want you guys to change that.
People hire lawyers who are taught to go through all those contracts. Most businesses hire lawyers when they're making business agreements to work together. You would think if it's about working together, you got work. But if they hire these lawyers so they can modify contracts to where benefits both businesses. As in, like you said, most contracts are to protect that business. So you don't know what the hell you're walking into. Just something bad happens. You signed a contract saying whatever bad shit happens, you're responsible for that. Business got nothing to do with it. That's why they hire lawyers and stuff, like business meetings on the two companies work together. It's basically, how can we make a contract where either both companies will take responsibility or they won't? Because a lot of times they'll be like, oh, this happens, okay, then that gives us the right to cut this contract. This happens, oh, you have to pay for that.
Right.
That's the whole reason I
really
on that.
And you see that with a lot of people that came into the entertainment industry, what they call it, show business. That how many, like the brother A.J. Johnson, the comedian A.J. Johnson that just died. You didn't even have enough for a funeral. You was in the movie Friday. You've been in several movies or what have you. You've been a successful comedian. You didn't have enough money for a funeral. But that's because in the show business part of it, that the business part, you didn't have anybody, you didn't study the contract, you didn't understand what was going on. So as your promoter, your manager, the record label, or whoever it might have been, the movie company, when they took all the, they took back their legally binding obligations and left you broke, you signed the contract. You went in. They got you emotional, and that's again, this is the ploy of this world. Let me get you emotional. Let me make it seem like we're friends. Let it make it seem like I really got your best interest at heart. But really, I'm a snake in the grass, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to play you until for whatever. That's why you see some of these. Platinum winning artists, producers, or what have you. Not even the producers, the artists. They'd be broke. And you'd be like, nigga, you sold a million records.
But the company actually takes the percentage of that. You don't get the J. Cole that talks about that. J. Cole talks about how he sells a million records. He may be like one of the biggest artists, but a lot of the money that he makes goes straight to the record label. So he doesn't buy fancy cars. He doesn't buy all these fancy clothes and newest shoes for J. Cole. But he won't do all this extra stuff with the money because he knows that part of it, once he's paid, he's got to pay the producer that makes the beat. He's got to pay the record label for putting the record out. So the more records they put out, he's got to pay those records he made, and then it's the revenue from those records coming out. Then they got to pay the record label. Then they got to pay the...
It sounds like drugs are what they call it.
It's a business.
You got to pay.
It's all a business. And that's what they signed for. When they signed for their record, and they gave them this fat deal, $20,000 deal to get them started, and
time. You got to pay all this extra stuff. Then you got to that money doesn't come back to you unless your record sells. Now, if you paid all this, giving you all this, and you only sell a couple records, now anything that you do make doesn't come back to you. But if you're a shoe that you got to pay them back. Keep putting on music. You can keep getting the money to pay them back. The loan. And NBA, sports people have it the worst because you have a contract for NBA players who sign a contract for 4 years. Basketball player signs contracts for like 1 year for like six million. So it's not like a $6 million contract for 4 years. So they take that $6 million. You have to pay. They pay you in percentages for the whole 6 years, but you get money taken off if you get fined. So when you see football players that fucking go to ball the stands and shit when they celebrate, or if they celebrate, they find you. They find you for your mistake as a football player, but you sign the contract for that. When you miss a tackle, miss a block, a game-winning field goal, lose a game or something like that, you get paid. But some of those marks, because it is you, it's not done. You're on live TV.
Right, right.
You miss a field goal, they're going to fine you for that. Like, because you're costing, as much as you're costing them money, because you're not winning. Because when you don't win, people don't buy tickets. When you don't, people don't buy tickets, they don't go to the stands. They don't go to the stands that stay in the stands. They're losing out on money. But you signed their contract for 4 years. So 4 years, they have the ability to do whatever the hell they want to you and take away your money. But then when you win, they give you the money. But then you lose, they take away the money. You can sign game balls, throw it to people. They find you for that. You celebrate, you get a play like that, they find you for that. And then it gets so bad that you don't even own yourself as a player. Because you know how players get traded. If the team decides that you're not good, or we can get this guy, if we trade this guy, or, you know how football by players, by trade time, if they're like, okay, you know what? I think it'd be better if we put this guy here and give him this amount of money for a contract, and we just trade this guy off to here. Now, when you traded, now you got a contract with the new people, and they can be less or higher depending on what they want to give you. But then you're just like an item now. So it's like they don't want you. Okay, I'm trading this guy for this guy, and now your contract goes up. Or you go to free agency, nobody's paying you at that point. You have to pay on a shoe. You got to bank on your shoe brand. You got to bank on whatever organization you funded, and if they can help you get money back, you got to bank on side businesses and stock at that point. But once you sign that contract, you sign everything away. You can't do anything about it.
Right.
Everything that you own, whoever you are, is not owned by that industry unless you're independent, which is not sports players can't do that. But unless you're independent, like how some artists be doing, you're independent, so. You have like a business, your big business. Sometimes it's like your uncle who owns the business, but sponsors you and y'all grow the business like that. Yeah, you know, big change.
Right, kind of.
That those ones prosper a little bit. They don't make a lot of money because now you may work together to have two groups to figure out how to pay this studio, this company, to pay this record company to put your record out and everything. And,
with that in mind, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Why is it important to study? So we have some great examples in worldly application of the importance of studying and knowing what you're dealing with. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. We'll start at verse 1. Yeah. Now, biblical example is the same thing, but just keep it a little bit biblical. Matthew chapter 20, we'll start at verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 1. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right.
Matthew chapter 20, and verse 1.
Okay.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a houseman, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard.
All right, so look at what Christ is saying now. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a householder. He's a business owner. And he needed some laborers. He needed somebody to work for him. And he said he went out early in the morning to get people to work his business. Go ahead. That's verse 1.
When he
And when he, verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them unto the vineyard, into the vineyard.
Okay, so he went out in the morning, and he found some laborers. And what was the agreement in verse, in, from verse 2, what was the agreement that was made? That the householder was going to do what? Pay how much? And that the laborers, whatever the labor was, they was going to receive still what? A penny a day. All right, reading on.
And he went out about third hour.
So usually we'll say 6 a.m. The third hour would be like 9 a.m. So he went out 6 a.m., got some laborers. If y'all come work for me, but I'll give you a penny a day. This the contract. I'm going to give you this penny. So no matter how much work you do, this is the penny you're going to get. Then he came back about 9 a.m. Cool. Got some more laborers. Verse 3.
And some others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out.
The 11th hour. So this is, if the workday ends at 6, the workday would be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So now, he, all through the day, he's getting people, hey, you want a job? I'll give you this amount. You want a job? I'll give you this amount. And this is what was, the agreement was. Reading on. So now it's the 11th hour. 5 o'clock. Go ahead.
And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stay ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even has come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.
All right, so start with the ones who got their last. They only put in an hour's worth of work. Pay them first, and go back to the one, and then all the way back down the line. Go ahead. You're in verse 9 now.
And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
So they did an hour's worth of work, but what was their pay?
One penny.
And we're going to find out. Now, what, the ones that were hired in the morning, what was the agreed upon amount for them?
Penny.
A penny. So they worked 12 hours. For what? The ones who worked from very early in the morning, they worked 12 hours, and the agreement was for the 12 hours, you're going to get what?
Okay.
So now the ones who only worked an hour finds out that their agreement was they're only going to work an hour for how much? Where's your Zondervan Bible Dictionary?
Is he talking about that they get one penny an hour? Was he saying that for the ones that started first, it was 12 hours, everybody was agreed upon a penny a day. But as the hours went down, you found more laborers, they had to work less to still receive the same. That was
the agreement.
What?
You might look at the monies. You might look at the money.
I was wondering, to me, in this time, it's not, penny doesn't seem like a lot. Okay, so you're mad about this, but I'm thinking back then, you didn't know how much a penny was, the life you could live if you got that.
Well, see, even here in America, think about America before inflation. My father remembers when a candy bar was just a nickel. Yeah, a steak was a nickel. Remember, minimum wage, when I was a teenager, minimum wage was $3.15 an hour.
It was $7.60-something when I was in high school.
Well, when I first started working, it was $3.35, Mashaba, 1980, about 1987. 88, I was 16. That was the age when I could actually start working. My first job, my first two jobs were $3.35 an hour. That was minimum wage back then.
I'm going to give you examples because remember back then, you only needed one person in the house working. And for $3.35 an hour, you could pay for the apartment, the car, electricity, get everything. The woman stayed home as a stay-at-home mom. The dad went home, went and worked. He worked an eight-hour day, only making $3.35 an hour. That was still enough to cover everything.
I remember that. That's true.
Yes, we go, Kyle.
Last time here says the most interesting coin of the Bible is the Roman denarius, known by collectors as the penny of the Bible. Because of this translation in the King James Version, this silver coin, so apparently it was silver, which looks something like our dime, was the most common Roman coin during the days of Jesus and the apostles. The true value of the denarius may be seen in the Lord's parable of the laborers in the vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Sunday school teachers and children have always wondered why any man would toil all day and receive only a penny. Even those who worked but 1 hour deserved more than that. Was it because wages were so low? But if one remembers in the Roman world, the denarius represented a day's pay. The dilemma is solved. Army pay was also a denarius a day. For this reason, it is misleading today to state, as Bible margins often do, that the denarius is worth 18 or 20 cents. This is the value according to silver weight pound sterling. So basically the weight is a quarter. But not according to the buying power, which is the important thing. So basically I'm saying, what you could buy.
Yeah, so you could work back then, a penny a day, you can cover everything.
Yeah.
So 335, just the math. 335, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said 8 hours, hold on, for 8 hours, it's only 26, 20, or $27 a day, right? That's sad.
Well, I was going to
say, why is it sad if that was enough for you to pay for a home? Food?
So you got 26 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you times that by a work week, including overtime hours, I don't know if that was possible, but the way I used to do it back in the when I was working was if you do by home, like, you know how we do it like today, by the day, right? So if you work the full 7 day week, that same wage, that would be about times seven. 187, round up, probably like $188 a week with working full 7 days nonstop. And then,
you forgot taxes.
I know. I can read it. But you take out, see, and you make about $750 monthly. And that was enough to pay for the car, the house,
so food, bills, braces, yes. Medical. Dental.
So basically,
covered everything.
It's like saying it's whatever your wage is that you need to survive, the wage, which you need to make your wage. I was serving the $7. I worked the last part, we were getting paid $7.50, and I thought I was balling because I'd go to school. Niggas had shoes and J's and shit. I could buy them, but I would go work. I'd work from, it'd be from like 9 o'clock. It'd be from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock during the full service. Every other day, including weekends are important. You get money up a little bit. But I'd work from that time, and I'd make out with like. No, I remember it took me a while. I had to save, because I didn't have a bank account. I had to save about 7 or 8 checks, full checks, and I cashed all my checks in one day. Boom, just deposited every single check and wrote my name on it. And then at the end of that must have been like, I don't know, work, because I got paid by week. So that was like a good 14 weeks, because 7 checks, 14 weeks. 7 checks for 2 weeks, that's 14 weeks of work. I had $1,000, roughly $1,000. I remember got like that little $25 and let me see the best
way. Right.
But I added all that up. It came out to my full total amount of money was $1,000. And I was going stupid with it. I was trying to, I didn't carry my cards at the time, but I put like $20 every other week in like lunch money to go buy double burgers. I was trying to buy my own shoes, buy my own clothes, buy my jewelry, kind of jewelry and shit. I'm like, and then like
one day, made it rain.
One day I had like $1,000. I was like, it went from $1,000 to $2, and I'm like, damn. And I was over a span of like a month or two, but I was still going to work, so I was still constantly getting checks for it.
That little nest egg shrank.
Oh yeah. Now I gotta pay some more. So like I need to your work wage goes up, your wage has to go up because the price of everything is also fucking going up.
So that's how you feel once involved if you work someone with less than you still got the same pay as you got. That's right. How do you feel?
You guys are coming in making about $9 an hour, and so I talked to, because that's why bosses talk about don't tell people how much you make, don't tell people your wages, and I understood that because when I told my boss, or when they told me they were making $9, and I had been there for almost a year and I was still making $7.50, I talked to him and he was talking about he was just waiting for the moment to raise my pay. And I was like, that's BS, because the other people that were here are still making only $7.50, and they're working two jobs to pay for whatever they got to pay for. But these new guys just walked in, and we were the ones that got the new guys hired. We went to school with them, and we're like, hey, come be a lifeguard over here. Like, they pay pretty good, you know, but like, we can hang out with Sean, and it's a fun time, we can be a lifeguard. And then all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, I'm such an office man.
But now, when you started working there,
yeah.
And we're going to go biblical. Right? Even by the contract, when you started, what did you agree to?
I agreed
to $7.50.
Okay.
So even if we're going, as we're going to get back to the scripture, scripturally, when they offered you $7.50 and they paid you $7.50, if they offered this other person, again, this other person is $9, and that's what they agreed to, you agreed to $7.50. So what? If that's what you agreed to, you can have an issue if you agree to $7.50 and then they pay you $7.50. Then you have a right to have an issue. Hold up. I agree that when I came to this, we worked this out. I'm going to get paid this amount. Now you're not paying me this amount. Scripturally now, I have a legitimate argument with the Most High because this is what we agreed upon. But now anybody else who comes in, if their agreement is, whatever their agreement is, that's the agreement. Let's keep reading verse 9. Let's keep reading.
And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny.
Right. Now, worldly wisdom would say what?
Those are the guys who work. Those are the veterans. Those are the veterans who worked the longest. So now that I've put in more work, these new guys are coming in. I should get paid more than these new guys. More than these new guys because I've been here long. I have ignored this and that. Whatever you want to fucking say it, but I put in more than they did. Why am I not getting paid?
They have to worry. They work a longer shift.
12 hours.
Yeah, because you are based on getting paid based on shifts. Like I work 12 hours, so we're going to pay someone the same amount as they work 12 hours as well. Not just about who's been at the job the longest. Like you know, I've been working for you for this many years. So you just hired the officer.
Hey, it can still be applicable. We can look at we used to talk about football earlier, right?
Yeah.
Those who first started in the NFL back in the '60s.
Yeah.
How would they feel? They made maybe $10,000 a year.
Now it's like the $10 million contract that they
made. Yeah.
I don't know. This is not like
when I played. That's like so. Remember when we first started? So remember first started? I forgot what contract was first. His first contract was the guy with then you look at Dak right now, he's getting like $67 million, and he's doing good now. But like,
you know, but he's not salty that what's it called? All these new guys just off the bat when they come in, they get paid with them out.
If they have a worldly wisdom, they should be salty.
Oh, yeah.
But in not knowing the scriptures, if this is what you agree to, that's what you agree to.
That's like the ways controversy that we have in the world right now, where they believe that a doctor, surgeons do about 32-hour brain, there's surgeons, both of them do like 32-hour brain tumor surgery, meaning they were up doing surgery for 32 straight hours, no sleep, no cleaning out the coffee, all that shit. That was about a day and a half of straight work. And they get paid, you know, their regular surgeons, ways of surgery, which is a
right.
lot. So some people who fucking work construction and shit, but I'm like, they're like, surgeons should be paid like sports athletes, because these niggas just fucking put a ball through a hoop or run a ball down the field and get paid like 60-something million at the end of the year. Which if you're a surgeon and you look at your salary, which is what the world trips on, then your salary, you get paid just as barely as less as they are, because they only get paid that 60-something million at the end of their 4 years, or they get paid like the 1 year contracts are a lot smaller because that's only for 1 year.
But when that surgeon went to the hospital, what did he agree to?
That salary that he has. And you know what everybody does is when I guarantee you he did all those years of medical school, all those years of college, undergrad, graduate medical school, the surgeon, all the tests that he took, thinking about this big salary he's gonna make. Just like when kids grow, he goes through high school, college. He's in high school and college, and then you go into the NBA. You're not thinking about shooting hoops, just playing. You're not thinking about playing basketball. You're thinking about all that fucking money you're about to make. So when they do give you the contract, it's like how other people think, I'm not worried about what the fucking contract says. I'm worried about that big-ass fucking dollar sign and how many zeros at the end of it. I don't care about like I said, I don't care about my salary. I don't care about what the job is or what I have to do. I care about that big-ass six-figure, seven-figure salary that I'm going to get at the end of that business. I don't really care about
most people are happy. It's before him I offered it.
Until?
Someone offered it. You ain't got nothing. Just like when you saw about these workers who were idle, waiting all day, it had no work at all. Someone comes and is like, hey, okay, I'll give you some work. I'm going to my field. Now, hey, of course they're going to agree. They're about to wait the whole day with no work. And so everyone's happy when they, before there's somebody, or they do all that work, and then someone offers, okay, I'm going to give you a surgeon job. I'm going to pay you this much. You'd be happy as hell until, like you said, now you compare it to everybody else. So why is it now when I'm giving you a job, you compare it, and now you're happy, but if I hadn't offered you the job in the first place, you were just going to be an idle laborer.
True.
You got your day's wage. You wasted your whole day.
And again, the agreement. What was agreed upon?
You were agreed upon that price that you were hired on.
The rappers. When you took this and you signed, this is what you agreed upon. So why are you salty? Now, if you get the world's wisdom, you may go get a gun, go postal, or do some shit like that.
Or you may just work. What everybody does is you work hard is the way to get more. Which is not wrong in some senses, but not when it comes to money. That's how they got those old-ass fucking, I've been in this job for about 20-something years, fast food dudes. Which I did have one of those. It was one of those dudes you get paid the same salary. You went through like 3-4 raises, but then the new people that come in make exactly what you made, what you worked hard for, they just make that off the bat. Because the world is growing. You've been in this thing for like 10 years, but the world is growing in that same 10 years, so the minimum wage went up, so the people who just came in, they have to make more.
And what was the agreement?
That you would make if you wanted that.
If this is a God-fearing country, and every president is sworn on the Bible, then cool. According to the Bible, is this what you agreed upon?
No.
Now, if I'm a business owner, and this is what you signed a contract for, but I come back every nigga on that, that's on me.
You can't deny that.
Right. But if this is what you agreed upon, then
that's the person they said
and what's crazy. In the culture of Israel, your word was your bond.
We didn't sign contracts. If you gave your word, you gave your word. That would be just as good as Esau saying, okay, you signed your name and marked with some blood, and this is your mark. If you gave your word, that's the contract.
It's like how the householder is what we're reading right now. It's how the householder is word is his bond. So if he hires the two guys in the morning and he lets them know, I'll pay you a penny a day, he would be wrong. Now he would be in their eyes, he'd be right if he gave them more. But now if you gave him less, now he'd be wrong. And their
right.
eyes and the eyes of the Most High, because that was his word. But don't realize that if he would have gave him more, he also would have been wrong. He also would have been wrong because he needs to remember, hold on, he offered the job at all, and it was half work. But I'm talking about how, like, in the sense of contract. In the sense of contract, he would have been wrong if he would have gave him more or less. He didn't give him exactly what he had promised, but he kept keeping his word. And then when he did hire the other ones down on it, he said, I'm going to give you a penny a day. They worked the day, so he promised then the exact pay that he said he gave his word on, one penny. So that, I know we're getting to that point.
It says they don't you'll see him over here doing, like, you know, hey, because his word was his bond. He said, well, basically, remember, it was a work day, he's going to get a penny. So pay out a penny, which if you pay a whole wage. So he's not here like, you know, hey, I got these workers on the table for now. He offered a job. He's like, okay, I'm going to pay.
Hey, that's the thing. But he losing money. This ain't about money. This is about, again, moving over contracts.
That's
what it's about.
He's not worried about the money he's losing by paying these dudes for less.
How's he losing money if he agreed to them for a penny?
He tried to.
Silver denaries. I'm paying out silver to dudes who didn't work at all for the guys. She's adding as much reap as they could if they had the same amount.
From the world's point of view. Right.
If I hired you all at the same time in the morning, the same amount of people you hired, I'm going to get a whole bunch of yield from that. And I pay you the same amount. But I'm losing money if I hired you at the end of the day. It works for an hour.
That's how the world would look at it.
That's what I'm saying. Just like
we saw earlier, like, not today, but in other examples. And we're way over here now. But how much food do these corporations throw away at the end of the night? Because if they gave it to the homeless and their wicked minds, I'm losing money by letting people eat this. I'm going to throw it away, and I'm going to put a lock on it anyway so that make sure it gets thrown away. Somehow that's not losing money. But if a person gets it, now I'm losing money, that's wicked as hell. Work for me, I'm gonna pay you this. We agreed to it. I kept my word. I didn't pay you less. I kept my word what I said I was gonna give you. I didn't do you no wrong. Just like when I went to them. If y'all come work 8 hours for the 8 hours, 6 hours, 4 hours, an hour. I made agreements with them like I made an agreement with you that whatever work you do, this I'm gonna pay you. I kept my word, so why are you mad? Because whatever agreement I made with them, I kept that agreement.
The agreement I made with you, I kept the agreement. The agreement I made with you, I kept your agreement. Read.
Verse 14, take that, thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with my own, or sorry, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thy eye evil because I am good?
Your eye is that evil because I kept my word with you? And I kept my word with each one of these people that I made the agreement with. And now you're looking at me like I'm fucked up? You're off. So, but if a person's not studying, they can run into these type of scenarios. And what kind of instructions would a person be tempted to go with?
Yeah, because you're fucked up, and I give me more because I was more important than I care for all of you this day. I'm really going to tell you. Or that's what the worker, the business owner, is willing to tell me, no, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm going to save me some cash. I'm not going to pay a whole wage. I'm going to pay a business amount because they work less. And I'm going to break my word on that, even though I said, hey, you can work for me right now. For whatever reason, he needed workers. And he offered up to pay this amount. I'm going to take your advice. Like, you know, you're right. This isn't true. So, you know, let's do this. I'm going to pay you less. And both people, you're both breaking your word. Because what's it called? You offered to work this amount for this. And now you're breaking your word because you want more because you feel like you deserve more. Even though that's not what you agreed to and gave your word to, you agreed to, hey, if you pay me this much, I'll work the whole day for you. So whatever business he does on his end, ain't really got nothing to do with you. And I'm saying on the business owner end, whatever loss I incurred, I just have loss because you were keeping the word loss high. It's only loss for me, right? That's his business. And so he says, it's not law for me to do what I want on my own. If I'm losing money, and that's basically on me, good, and I keep my word, these men only work for hour, good for them. They got paid wage.
How the most high, and no scripture's right, because we read this the other day about cleaning the field. Once you went to your fields once, what were Israelites commanded to do? For what? For a reason.
So the leopards will be being trapped in the field. If they're hungry, they have something to eat.
Let them have it. Were you really losing out?
So both sides of you, because you didn't save as much as you could for the labor that you had, you had enough denarius to pay everyone a penny. So you're already making money. The Most High would have definitely been mad about, oh, you know what, so now you're going to go back on your word so you can save a little bit of cash.
Right. So if we know the scripture, study to show ourselves approved. Go back to 2 Timothy 2:15, and we're going to end it with that because it's 12. Come on, you got that? 2 Timothy 2:15, who had that? Hello, hello.
I didn't have it, but I can read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
2 Timothy 2, verse 15.
Got it.
Go ahead.
Study shows that comes proof unto God, and we're going that he's not be ashamed.
It says, study to show yourself approved to God so that your work is not going to be ashamed. If I'm going with the instructions of the world, man, y'all right. I should do this. No, I'm not going to pay this. You're right. I'm going to take – I can split that denarii up, right? I'm going to break I'm put this penny up. I'm going to give them half a penny and give you a half – I'm going to give you the half of the penny because y'all did work more than they did. So that's fair. That would be some instruction of the world. If we don't know the scriptures, that would err when it comes to the Most High. That would have the Most High pissed off. If you agree to this and you didn't do this, the Most High will be pissed because that's not his way of doing things. But if we don't study, all we have is a business.
Business battalion,
business school, whatever. And it's all about the bottom line and profit and loss margins, all that type of stuff. Right. Right. Oh, hold up. You're on lunch? Did you walk out?
No, man.
I'm not paying for that shit. That's fucked up. What are you talking about? Now, they make you clock out for lunch, right?
Yeah.
But the Most High, his law says what? Don't muzzle the ox to tread the corn. You're supposed to be able to eat for free. If you're working, that's supposed to come with eating
It's supposed to come with the job. That's supposed to be provided. But they make sure you clock out, so they don't have to pay you for that time you clocked out. That's according to the Mosiah. That's wrong.
No friend.
Good job.
Don't protect you.
You get paid minimum wage. But you know what? We let you eat while you work. So, you know, you should.
Yeah, and that's incentive. But if we understood how to massage those things, you're obligated to feed them anyway. Because most I ain't doing it just to make sure ox eats. It's for people too. If they're working for you, yeah, let them get their daily wage and feed them. That's only right and proper when it comes to the Most High. But to the world, that's you're fucking with the loss of profit margin. You're starting to mess with that. And again, that goes into the love of money being the root of all evil. It shouldn't be that way. So, 2 Timothy 2:15 again, and we got to end it.
2 Timothy 2:15. So you show thyself approved unto God.
Unto who?
God.
Unto the Most High, unto God.
How shall I?
Go ahead.
A workman that need not be ashamed.
So that your work that you're doing, you have Christ come back at the end, like when all the books are open, and you're going to be judged for the work you did. Why the hell you do this? I thought it was right. Did you study? Do you know that doing things that way was wrong? Now you got to get judged. Now there's got to be some type of a penalty because you didn't read the contract. You didn't study. So all the things you did, all the work you did, that wasn't glorifying the Most High. That was something else. Finish it.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
That you're rightly dividing the word of truth. So that was a quick 2 hours. Thank y'all, brothers, for helping out. And we got started a little bit late too with the technical difficulties of this morning. But for everybody that's listening in, we do want to thank y'all for tuning in and listening, whether you caught the live show or whether you listen to one of the archive shows. It is appreciated. We are going to continue. Again, we're taking the boys is scripturally is correct because he was still considered a boy up through the age of 20 or 28. Matter of fact, you still considered a boy. You considered a lad even at the age of 28. But we're taking a young man over the soldier sheet. We're going to continue taking them to that, going into the Hebrew, going into all those different type of things, whatever. And we'll keep going with the blog talks. We'll see if Todd's upon next week is able to come back in on a Tuesday. And we'll keep it going. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in. Stay prayed up. Stay studied up. As we used to say back then, G's up, O's down, let the Bible lead you. With that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.